Seeing how today is Mother's Day, and seeing how we've been going through the Ten Commandments, we're actually going to look at commandment number 5 today. Now, next up on the list was commandment number 4, but we're going to skip ahead to number 5, and then next week we'll go back to number 4. Sound like a good deal? Okay, good. Nothing you can do about it, because that's what we're going to do. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Here we find commandment number 5, and again, a very familiar commandment to most of us, I'm sure. And though this commandment deals with both the father and the mother, today we're going to look at the mother part or the mother aspect. In about 6 weeks, we'll deal with the father part. Again, Exodus 20, verse 12 says this. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Before we get into how we can honor our moms and look into that a little bit, I want to first deal with the promise that is attached to this commandment. It's kind of a unique commandment. As we look at the rest of the commandments, 6 through 10, they're pretty boom, direct. You know, don't murder, don't commit adultery, and they're there. This one has this little phrase attached to it, and it says this, "Honor your father and mother so that what? You may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." What does that mean? Does that mean if I honor my mom, I'm going to live to be 100, right? I mean, that sounds like a pretty good deal. Well, not necessarily. We need to keep in mind the context of what's taking place here. And certainly, though this command would apply to all of us today that we're still to honor our mother and father, this was written originally to the people of Israel, and they were given a certain land. There were certain laws that they had to abide by. They were a true theocracy with God as their head. God had entered into a covenant with them as a nation like no other. No other nation has God entered into a covenant with like he did Israel. And so we need to keep that in mind, because not only did they have these Ten Commandments, but there were hundreds and hundreds of other laws that they were to obey. I want us to look at one other law that they were given in Exodus 21, verse 17, that kind of ties into this commandment, may help us to understand what's going on here. Exodus 21, verse 17 says this, "Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death." Now we hear that today and we say, whoa, that sounds kind of harsh. I mean, how did any kid ever make it past the age of 3? You know, I don't know how that ever happened. We need to understand what's taking place here. I don't believe God is saying that he's speaking here of what we might call average disobedience. You know, that 2-year-old that's stubborn and says, no. It's not like they took that 2-year-old out, had him stoned to death and said, sorry, kid, man, you blew it. You know, you're done. It's likely that this is someone who is of age, who has a good knowledge of what it means to really curse your father or your mother. What does that word curse mean? It means that you wish God would bring harm, injury, maybe even death to a person. Has the idea of just cutting off. And maybe you've heard people say, you know, I want nothing to do with you ever again. This is the idea of cursing your father or your mother. Another word that we see here is the word revile. To revile means to treat as vile. To treat as just nothing and empty. This is what God is getting at here. There's an idea of hatred, contempt, where you just totally despise and you want nothing to do with that parent. The penalty for that, for Israel, was death. Now, I don't know how the elders of Israel decided where that line in the sand was, what qualified as cursing and reviling, but I know this. If you or I were living back in that day, and we were to witness, let's say, our neighbor Fred, we see Fred getting stoned to death, and we say, what's Fred getting stoned to death for? Oh, he just cursed his mother. We would think twice before we disrespected or dishonored our mother or father in any way. This command would really make us think about honoring our parent. So what is this promise all about? Is God saying, I have no grace at all for a rebellious child? I don't think so. Look at us, right? Every one of us, if we're in Christ, every one of us are rebellious children, and God has poured out his grace upon us. What God is getting at here is he's revealing his heart concerning the parent-child relationship. And what is God's heart? God wants to see that child, no matter what age they are, that child to have a great honor, a great respect for the mother and father simply because they are their parent. And certainly no parent is perfect. They all have flaws. No mother is perfect. Every mother has flaws. But we are still to honor them, still to respect them, still to love them, no matter what. So today, whether you are 5, 15, 25, or 55, we're still called to honor our moms. Before we get into honoring our moms, I realize that many of you here today may have lost your mom. Your mom is not with you today here. She's passed away. And if that's you, I want you to think of someone in your life that may be, quote, like a mom, that you can honor. Because from God's perspective, what he wants as for Christians is he wants us to really think of those people who are in that mom category, those mom figures that are in our lives, really wants to see them or treat them just like we would our own mother. We find this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's look at that. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. We see here the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy. And it's interesting, he touches on all different age groups and then the male-female roles as well. But he says this, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly." Now, Timothy may have been, you know, some say 30, some say 20 in there, somewhere at this point. "But exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers." And here's the key. "Older women as what? As mothers. And younger women as sisters with absolute purity." That's what Paul charged Timothy to do. Hey, if you've got an older woman who's kind of maybe the same age as your mom, you treat her as if she's your mom. So today, if your mom is not with you, I'd encourage you to seek out someone who maybe doesn't have children around. Maybe they're far away. Maybe they've all passed. Maybe she's a widow and has no one around. I'd encourage you to adopt a mom. How's that? You've heard of adopt a pet? Well, you can adopt a mom. No paperwork required. You just go and you have some human interaction with a woman who may not have that in her life. Be a blessing. I keep thinking of what Mrs. D said at the end of our service last week. She talked about a song she wanted at her funeral. Remember what it was? Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing to someone today. Is there someone who's, quote, like a mom that you could be a blessing to? I pray that you'd seek out that person. So how do we honor our moms? What does that word honor mean? Webster defines it this way. He says, high regard or great respect given. Again, high regard or great respect given. How do we show high regard or great respect? Well, one way I believe we do that is through our speech, the way we talk. And so I want to talk about a couple ways today that we talk. Number one is how we speak to our mother. And then secondly, how we speak about our mother. So first off, how we speak to her. I know that some of you have your moms close by, so you're able to get a lot of FaceTime. Not computer, you know, you call that FaceTime when you're on the computer together, but actual literal FaceTime. You're able to sit down and have a cup of coffee together, sit around the kitchen table and chat. That may be you. That's good. You have that time together. For others of us like me, who's my mother's many miles away, you know, most of our conversations take place over the phone. But either way, We need to ask ourselves, how do we speak to her? Do I speak with an attitude of respect? Is there love in my speech when I speak to her? And I realize that all of us have different levels of closeness with our moms. We've got different family backgrounds, family history, and so on, that family dynamics that are all different. But we still need to ask ourselves this: how do I speak to my mom? Do I speak in a condescending way? Do I speak as if I've got all the answers and all the wisdom and mom knows nothing? Do I speak with patience? Do I speak with kind words or unkind words? Is there a high value that is placed upon her when I speak? Do I speak as if I treasure her? As we evaluate our words, I'm reminded of what Jesus once said, that out of the mouth comes from where? What's in our hearts. You see, what comes out of the mouth is simply a reflection of what's in our hearts. So if I'm speaking unkind words to my mom, or I'm being impatient in my speech with my mom, I've got a heart issue. I've got a heart attitude. I need to get my heart lined up. I need, as the song says, put a little love in your heart. I need more love in my heart from Jesus, from God, to love her in the way that would honor God. I need to do that. The Bible clearly tells us how we do this, what love really is in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's look at that. Again, a familiar passage. But as we hear this today, I want you to apply it to how you speak, whether it's your mother or whether it's older women in general. How do you speak to them? It says love is patient. When mom can't hear as good as she used to, and you have to repeat yourself, do you get impatient? Or are you patient with your mom because she can't help it when her hearing starts to go? And we may be there someday too. In fact, maybe we're already there. Are we going to be patient? Love is kind. Are my words cutting? Are they coarse? Are they harsh? Or are they kind? It does not envy. Do I say, can't believe mom has this, mom has that, mom gets to do this, she gets to go here? Do I envy her, or is there love? It does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, there's not a kind of an arrogance. It's not self-seeking. When I talk to mom, it's not all about me and how mom can help me, it's about mom. Love is not easily angered. Am I quick to snap when I talk to my mom? And finally, love keeps no record of wrongs. Do I say, mom, yeah, but you know what you did when I was 8 or 10 or 13? Do I keep a record, or do I let it go? Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Think about that as you speak to your mom, as you speak to her, as you speak to older women in general. Is your speech like 1 Corinthians 13 says? And number two, we need to be aware of how we speak about her. In other words, when we're in a conversation and mom happens to come up, how do we speak about her? What do we say? How we talk about others when they are not in our presence reveals a lot about our character, reveals about a lot about our heart and how we honor people and how we love people. You see, it's easy to praise people when they're 2 feet away. But how about when they're 2 miles or 200 miles away? Can you speak kindly of them then when they're not in your presence? It's been said that you need to be careful of those who always talk behind people's back. Because you see, if Billy comes up to you and he's quick to tell you about Johnny, and how Johnny does this, Johnny does that, and he's always putting them down, putting them down, putting them down. Guess what Billy might be doing when you're not around? He might be doing the same thing about you. He might be putting you down, you down. So be careful. Again, it reveals a lot about our character, the way we speak about people when they're not in our presence. And so as we apply this to moms, we need to be very careful, not only about what we say to her face, but what we say when she's not in our presence. A great passage to keep in mind when we think about the trouble we can get into with our tongues is James 3. I want to look at that this morning. Read that. James 3, 3 through 10 says this. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. James, very direct, he pulls no punches about the tongue and how we can get into trouble. He says, no man, no woman either can tame the tongue. How can we tame the tongue? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help us to control our tongue. And so as you think about speaking to your mom, speaking about your mom, or older women in general, ask God to help you tame and control your tongue. How else can we honor our moms? There are many other ways. Not only by the things that we say, but I think also through our actions. It's one thing to say, Mom, I love you. It's another thing to show that you love her through the things that you do, through your actions. The Bible commands us in 1 John, the Apostle John says this, that we ought not only love in word or in tongue, but also in action and in truth. And so while it's good to say, I love you, and to say good things and kind things, we also need to try to back that up with the things that we do, our actions. So I ask you today, take inventory of your life. I need to take inventory of my life and say, how about my actions? Do my actions show that I'm honoring to my mom? Do they do that? The final thing I want to look at today is I want us to look at Jesus. You see, when in doubt of how to live our lives, you just go to Jesus, right? What would Jesus do? That old bracelet. Look at his life. We find a fascinating passage in John chapter 19, our final scripture for today. John 19, 25 through 27. And the context here is Jesus, he is being crucified. He's on the cross. And there's an encounter or an interaction, I should say, that Jesus has with his mother here. Very beautiful thing. John 19, 25 through 27 says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus had just been beaten to a pulp. He'd been mocked. He'd been humiliated. He was exhausted. He was drained as a human can be, both physically and emotionally. He's nailed to a cross, bloody. And I'm sure it's hard for him to even breathe. And yet he somehow gets some words out of his mouth. As you know, as you read the accounts of the crucifixion, there are a lot of short things that he says, probably because it's so hard for him to even speak. But in this moment, as he's hanging on the cross, he looks down and sees his mom, the one who gave him birth, the one who had labor pains. As many of you women can testify to, labor pains, those intense, wonderful things that women get to experience at the birth of a child. Mom went through that for me. Jesus looks down, he sees his mom, the one who taught him his ABCs in Hebrew or Aramaic, the language that he learned of that day. The one who cared for him when he was hungry and wanted some food and cried because he was hungry. She fed him. I know we love to sing Away in the Manger. We love Away in the Manger, right? Away in the manger. And that wonderful line, no crying he makes. I don't like that line, because Jesus was a real baby. When he got hungry, he cried for his mom to give him some food. When he had his diaper needed change, he cried like any normal baby did. So Jesus looks at his mom, the one who nurtured him, the one who helped him to grow. And then he looks at another disciple. Certainly, most certainly, we believe it's the disciple John. He says, John, behold, or here is your mother. What was Jesus saying? He wasn't saying, John, you have her now, man. Whew, man, I'm glad I don't need to take care. No. He was saying, John, you take care of my mom. Why? Because he knew what would happen. After the death, the burial, the resurrection, for 40 days he would appear to the disciples as the risen Christ, giving proof to who he was. Then after 40 days he would ascend to the right hand of the Father, and he knew that somebody would need to take care of his mom. He looks at John and says, John, you take care of her for me. Mom, he's going to be like a son to you. What a beautiful thing we see at the cross. When if we were in that state, how many of us would have been just thinking about our own pain and our own misery, throwing the pity party, looking for sympathy? Jesus looks at his mom and says, I love you, Mom. John, you take care of her and do a good job. And we're told that from this time on, John would take Mary into his home. Beautiful thing. That's how we honor our moms. We want them to be cared for. So how are you doing? How am I doing? Are we reflecting this same attitude that Jesus had? I pray that we would on this special holiday, this holy day, this day that's set apart to honor moms, that we would honor our moms, not only with our speech, but with our actions as well. As we close today, I just want us to go back to the cross for a moment. Because when we look at the cross, not only do we see a son who honored his mother, but we see a son who honored his father. Joseph? No, I'm not talking about Joseph. Many believe that Joseph may have passed away at this point. Not sure. Don't hear about Joseph. But I'm talking about the Heavenly Father. You see, at the cross, Jesus honored the Heavenly Father. Jesus obeyed the Heavenly Father. Jesus did the Father's will when he went to the cross. The prophet Isaiah tells us this, that Jesus, or the Messiah, the Christ, would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. And then he goes on to say this, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. Why? So that he might bear the sin of many. So that he might take upon the judgment that we deserve, the wrath that we deserve. That he might be our intercessor. That he might justify many. He'd make us right in the sight of God through the cross. And Jesus did that because he honored his Father. his heavenly Father. He loved his Father and he loved us. Today, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered to the cross of Christ? Have you submitted your life to Jesus Christ, who is Lord and King and God? Because you know that on that cross, he took your punishment. He took your shame. He took your sins. And he offers complete and full forgiveness for all who will believe in him, all who will trust in him. Have you given your heart to Jesus, given your life to Jesus, yielded yourself to him? I pray that you would, this day, it's good to honor your mom, but even above your mom, that you would honor God. The best way you can honor God is to believe in Jesus, the one whom he has sent. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your word. God, we thank you so much for our moms. And Lord, we know that there is no perfect mom in the world. So God, you tell us to honor them the best way that we can. Lord, I know that each of us as children have dishonored our mom in some way throughout the years. Lord, none of us are perfect at obeying this command. So Lord, help us to see the ways in which we fall short. Help us to seek to just to honor our mom in a way that would glorify you. And Lord, I pray today for those who maybe don't have their mom with them, that they would find a special lady that they could honor and treat as their mom and do it in a way that would glorify you. Lord, that's your heart. Lord, you have such a heart for the widow and the orphan that they just be ministered to and have someone pour into them. So God, I pray that we would be people who do that. Even if our moms are alive, that we would still find people who need the touch of God, the grace of God in their lives. And God, today we're so thankful for the cross of Christ. Without it, we'd be doomed. We'd be hellbound. And so God, we thank you for the forgiveness that you give us through Jesus. Lord, I pray that each and every one here today would in their heart of hearts know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they know Jesus Christ. And if not, that they would not leave here today without bowing their knee to Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, today for your word. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.